is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Let's go. This is your radio, your station.
KNNA 95.7, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Let's go ahead and go to Mark. I'll call your attention to one thing from Mark 1, verse 10. As Jesus is coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open. Torn open. This is a very graphic term or verb. Now, the very same word here, torn open in the Greek, is where we get our word schism in English. So it's ripped wide open, heaven is. And this is the same verb when Jesus dies. Go to Mark 15. Same verb is used in this verse. Mark 15:38. When Jesus dies, what happens? The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That is the same Greek verb that's in Mark 1, verse 10. There's the reason why Mark does this. With the coming of Jesus, his baptism, and his death, what is now open to you? Heaven.
Pastor Brent Kuhlman and the Bible Study in the Word can be heard Monday and Friday afternoons at 2 p.m.
We live in a sin-filled world, and the darkness of that sin sometimes causes us to be down. Down and out, down and depressed. But take heart. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We would like to invite you to join us for worship and hear the life-giving, life-changing message of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for you and for the light of the world. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school and Bible study in between, and every Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Please join us, won't you? We're located just north of 40th and Old Cheney. And remember, Jesus says, I am the light of the world.
The LP in KNNA LP stands for low power. It means we only have a certain amount of wattage to broadcast our station. So, when you hear us start to fade, go to our free KNNA app for your mobile device or go to the web at www.thecross957.org and listen to us wherever you go.
Gettysburg. Shiloh. Antietam, Pea Ridge, Vicksburg, Chickamauga, Cold Harbor, The Wilderness, Fredericksburg, Appomattox Courthouse. These names stir up thoughts and images of the bloodiest conflict in American history. Brother versus brother, North versus South, Grant versus Lee, Lincoln versus Davis, the American Civil War. It has been said that those who fail to learn from their history are doomed to repeat it. We invite you to listen and learn as KNNA LP 95.7 The Cross brings to you the Civil War podcast. Tune in every Monday and Wednesday at 2 p.m. for a new episode. That's the Civil War podcast, Monday and Wednesday at 2 p.m. right here on KNNA 95.7 The Cross. Chancellorsville, Missionary Ridge, Island Number 10, Fort Pillow, Petersburg, Malvern Tavern.
KNNA The Cross on your car radio is amazing. What makes it more amazing is the ability to listen to 95.7 FM on the web at www.thecross957.org. Plus, you can check out our archive shows and listen to previous programs on demand. It's easy, it's educational, it's KNNA The Cross, thecross957.org. That's thecross957.org.
Have you had that lingering question you have wanted to ask a pastor, but never did? Or has someone ever asked you a tough question about God that you couldn't really answer? I am Captain Kirk, and I host the Y-Files every Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. live. My co-host David and I ask guest pastors the tough questions every week. Whether you are an atheist, agnostic, a Christian, or a different religion altogether, this show is for you. Check out the Y-Files every Sunday at 2 p.m. live, or catch the replays on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and Thursdays at 6 p.m. The Y-Files. You don't want to miss it.
Welcome, Lincoln and the world, to The Y-Files here on 95.7 FM here in Lincoln, Nebraska. You are listening to The Y-Files, a program that we have every Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. And we ask guest pastors to come on and we tackle the, well, sometimes tough questions. We've had questions like, is abortion wrong? Am I going to hell if I've had an abortion? Is the Bible actually the Word of God? Did Jesus actually exist? Is Jesus God? We've talked about that. And we are going to get into topics such as things like, you know, does hell exist? Does the devil exist? Some of the supernatural stuff. We've even had on this program a discussion about, believe it or not, extraterrestrials. We talk about all sorts of things. That's why we call it the Y-Files, because it's a lot of Y questions, but it's also kind of a spinoff of the X-Files, sort of. Sort of. But the main thing that we need to understand in this program is that we start from Scripture first, and then we go from there. If we have opinions or assumptions after that, then that's okay. But we start from Scripture first. So I am Captain Kirk. Joining me as my co-host is Adam. Hello, Adam.
I thought there's going to be milkshakes here.
No.
No? Okay.
No milkshakes. Although today on this really hot day, that sounds really good right now.
Jim.
And then with us this afternoon is Pastor Hale. Excuse me, Pastor Hale. Welcome, Pastor Hale, to the Y-Files.
Thank you.
Now, I meant to ask you this off air before the show started. Where are you, Pastor, at?
I'm in Omaha, Nebraska.
In Omaha, what church specifically?
Zion.
Zion, okay. Yes. And for anybody out there, that is where Pastor Burnt is as well.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how long have you been pastor there?
It'll be 3 years this summer.
3 years. Okay. So not for very long. And off air, you were talking to me, you were up by West Point before, weren't you?
In Bancroft.
I know where that's at. I used to live up in Wisner.
Sure.
Yeah, so I am familiar with that area. So welcome, Pastor Hale. We've got an interesting topic this afternoon. It's a hot topic, but it's not a topic you really hear about much right now, because there's other things on the news that we hear about, which we actually will get to those topics at different episodes. But one hot topic that we have is very controversial, is the death penalty. And there's a lot of people out there who say, yes, it's good to have the death penalty, an eye for an eye. Or you got other people who say, no, it's not good to have the death penalty. Who are we to play God? You know. So I guess the question is, is the death penalty something that we should have in the U.S. or in the world? I mean, is the death penalty right? Is it scriptural? Does it say anywhere in Scripture that the capital punishment is allowed?
Depending on how you phrase the question.
You're not the first one to say, you know, you should probably rephrase that question.
well, it's a different question than I would maybe want to answer. But let me say this: I'm not a legal expert. I don't have any strong opinions on what would be more effective or what would be useful for a country or the state. But I will say that from a Christian's perspective, can we have the death penalty? Is something that God does answer in Scripture. It is on the books in many states currently. The problem is that many would claim that having capital punishment is murder, that it is morally wrong. And I think on that issue, the Bible is clear that it's not wrong or immoral. In fact, the government has been given authority to do this, whether they use it or not. So the issue is not whether government should do it, but can they? And the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'll go even further. Without capital punishment, there would be no Christianity.
What?
That's true. Okay.
Because
think about it.
There's people who are not Christian or who yes. don't really dive into this topic are going to hear that and say what I just said. What?
Yeah.
So, okay, you're going to have to dive into that.
Well, how did Jesus die?
On the cross. He was murdered.
Yeah. But it was done with government's authority.
Yeah.
He was executed, I think, would be the more...
He was sentenced to death.
Yes, as a criminal.
As soon as I said murdered, I went, that's not the right word.
and that's that's the key issue. The language we use to talk about it is very important, too. Mm-hmm. We'll definitely dive into that. But without the death penalty, and Jesus died under the common form of capital punishment of his time, which was crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
This was not an unusual thing, went on. And we know he was crucified with two criminals mm-hmm. also. But really, the Father was doing it and buying us from our sins. He was pouring out his wrath on Jesus. And ultimately, I would say that everyone faces the death penalty in a way from God mm-hmm. because the wages of sin is death. And so people who think it's unfair are really, they're making a much bigger claim than just, is this good for our government and society right now? They're really making a bunch of moral assumptions about man and about God.
And these morals are, when you say their morals, are we talking about just their own specific morals, or are they using...
Yeah, more like philosophical assumptions
okay.
about what we are and who has authority over life.
Okay. Sorry, I'm taking notes over here. It's a lot to take in because I don't think I've actually ever sat down with a pastor or a layman
mm-hmm.
In discussion about the death penalty. In fact, I don't think I've really discussed mm-hmm. the death penalty in length with anybody before. So a lot of this is new to me, and I know for listeners it probably is as well because it's like a lot of the topics that we have, it's touchy, and people don't necessarily want to talk about it, and that's what this program is for. So if I'm not saying a whole lot, it's probably because I'm writing down notes.
Yeah.
As my dad always says, Old Level Jack says, if I'm talking, you're taking notes. And so you're talking, Pastor Hale, and I'm taking notes. So,
Well, maybe we should start at the biblical basis for the authority of government.
Good, yeah.
So Romans 13 is the classic passage where it says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. And here's the key verse 4, where it talks about capital punishment or punishment in general. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. He is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the evildoer. So the government is God's servant. He instituted all government. There is no authority not from him. And only God has authority over life. And he has given that to government. For the same reason the government can punish someone by death, they can fight a war where people will die. It's inevitable. Mm-hmm. We don't say that is morally wrong either.
Mm-hmm. Before you mm-hmm. dive any further, you brought up the government. And
yes.
I know if I'm thinking this, somebody else is as mm-hmm. well. So what about all of the really... I guess you could say evil governments. They're mm-hmm. really bad governments. I mean, there are plenty of examples in history of the socialist nations who just treat their people by genocide mm-hmm. and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So when you say, you know, we're supposed to go with the authority because God gave the authority to government, are we then essentially saying that God is also evil? If he put an evil government on the earth and they're an authority, we have to listen to them? I mean, doesn't that make God evil also?
And going back to the Romans 13, I've read, the authority they have is from God. It doesn't mean every leader was hand-selected by God and does what is God's will, but it's much like a parent. Just because parents have the authority from God and they have a role designed by God doesn't mean they're good. Some parents should not have authority over children, and sometimes the government steps in at that point. But it doesn't mean being a father or mother is something we're free to disregard either. And so government the same way, and no matter how bad the government, there is always something worse. There is no government at all. Complete chaos, people doing whatever they want.
Yeah.
And so even the most worst totalitarian government is still a gift from God, actually. It's just maybe not as great a gift as another government, but it still is a gift.
How is that a gift from God?
Because without government, it would probably not even be possible to have a church to be able to do anything of any consequence. I mean, we can imagine life here without order, without rule, without roads. Government does the roads, right? Mm-hmm. All these things, they employ officers of the law to enforce the law and everything else. You go to countries that are completely destabilized, and some people, even getting food is impossible.
Yeah.
And if you don't have food, you're certainly not too worried about building a church and joining together to hear God's word, these very basic things. So if you can't venture outside your home in safety, you can't do a whole lot else.
This is really interesting. Okay, you've got my brain moving about a million miles an hour, Pastor Hale. But we have to take a break. This is the Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk Long here with Adam. We will be right back. Don't go away. We've got more of this.
Nancy from FM 95.7's Big Band program When Music Was Music. Do you remember the days when a 78 RPM record was the only kind of record you could buy?
I am old lovable Jack Kirk with an invitation then just for you. If you remember, or even if you don't, Nancy and I are sure you will enjoy our every Friday night Big Band program that we call When Music Was Music.
Give us a listen. We think you'll have a 78 RPM good time with us every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on The Cross, KNNA LP FM 95.7.
Would you like to be able to speak about life issues like abortion or assisted suicide with courage and compassion? Hi, I'm Pastor Michael Salamek, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. We're an organization that exists to equip Lutherans to be gospel-motivated voices for life. We have resources available at www.lutheransforlife.org, or you can call us at 888-364-LIFE. That's 888-364-5433.
Welcome back to Off on a Tangent. I'm Captain Kirk Long here with...
Y-Files.
What?
You said Off on a Tangent.
Did I say Off on a Tangent? It's because you're here.
I know.
I'm not used to that. This is the Y-Files. See, we're just talking off air how my mind is going a million miles an hour and I'm losing track of time. It's true. Totally true, because this is a very... this is an intense topic.
Mm-hmm.
This is an intense topic, so thank you, Adam, for that correction.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Y-Files.
Yes.
And we're joining us this afternoon is Pastor Hale, and we're talking about the death penalty, and we've discussed how Jesus was executed under that government, that it was the Father who was doing that, God the Father. The wages of sin is death. God has authority over the government. Doesn't mean that the government is doing what they're supposed to be doing, but government is a gift to us here on the earth. I'm still trying to wrap my head around how it's scripturally based, Pastor. Honestly, it's really hard to wrap my mind around, because God is such a loving God, yet he's giving us permission to execute people.
if we go back to Romans 13, it says the government does not bear the sword in vain. And we know swords, when used, and this was the major weapon at this time before guns, swords don't just cut a little bit; they can kill. And so we go to the overall view of government. Their main job is to punish. That's not what people would say today. People would say today that is to make our lives better, to make people better. According to the Bible, their really only function is to punish the evildoer with threats. And like with a parent, if you don't follow through on the threat, it's an empty, it's an idle threat.
Yeah, yeah.
So any sort of the loss of the death penalty and the doing away with it matches the changing role of incarceration in general, actually. As far as Europe is much further along on this curve, they see prison not as punishment but as rehabilitation, making people better. There are many people today that say that all prisons should be done away with, that prisons actually make people bad, not bad people need prisons.
That's a whole other topic in of itself.
Yes, but it matches this because the assumption fits into the death penalty, because the Bible says that man is evil. Mm-hmm. Every single person has murderous, hateful thoughts coming from his heart.
By nature, we are sinful and unclean.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. But the assumption of those who would deny the death penalty, that it has any role at all or any validity, is the assumption that man is good. And it's more of an Enlightenment philosophy of man that he should not be restricted. And that he is basically good, and so he might do some bad things, but he needs to be more encouraged than threatened. And much like the role of government has changed, much like the role of parenting has changed, in a way.
So what about lifetime sentence instead? Like, you got a lot of people who say, if you just execute this individually, just right off the bat for, you know, murdering somebody, the argument goes that they haven't actually learned anything. Which is kind of an argument in of itself as well. But wouldn't it make more sense for someone to just go through that suffering, that knowing for the rest of their life in solitary confinement or what have you, knowing what they've done? Is that just as bad or is that just as effective? I mean,
it depends on how and where they're incarcerated. If they are given meals without working, if they're given free cable, that may sound like a vacation to some people. But yet, when we look at, there are some people who respect, they don't respect God or his word. They certainly don't respect man's laws, the government's laws. The only thing they really care about is themselves and their life. So when we talk about the death penalty, the proper term is capital punishment. And what is capital? It is what at the head. It is the major form. In a way, I would argue, all other forms of punishment derive from that one. If you can't, if the government can't take a life and execute in that way, can they do any other forms of punishment? I think we're seeing not just death penalty, but all forms are weakening in a way, and maybe even our definition of right and wrong.
What about...
I was going to say, can I go, can I intervene here?
Yeah, go right ahead.
You make a really good point about how this punishment goes. And we can go back even to, you know, as children these days. I mean, just the use of corporal punishment on children, you know. They act up and give them, you know, a spanking, you know. You can't do that anymore. I mean, if I work at a retail store and... there's people that will say that, and if I see that, I'm like, you know what, good for them, because that's, they're trying to teach their kids discipline, and they're just not doing what their parents instructed them to do. And then you see parents that don't lay a finger on their child, but yet they're screaming at them. And it's like, well, the child's beating you on this here. You know, you're not really disciplining your children here. They're not, you know, doing what they say. And that goes throughout the whole... their entire life. You see that at school. I got a friend that runs an after school care center, and she just goes, and like, you know, kids just run rampant. There's no discipline, and she was so frustrated with the school that the kids decided not to do homework. And teachers just kind of allowed them to do no homework. So it's just a lack of discipline. And, you know, in today's society, it's starting to really become evident.
I understand what you're saying. You know, if you don't have that discipline there, that could make things worse. But at the same time, along with death penalty or capital punishment, the threat is still there, yet people are still
like
killing people or, you know, that kind of thing. So even though, you know, scriptures apparently says it's okay to have the death penalty, I mean, it's not preventing anybody from doing it.
No.
So, I mean, with that argument, I've actually read this argument. With that argument, is it even worth having the death penalty if it's not even really being, for lack of a better phrase, effective enough?
And I think it's kind of one chink in the armor. Is how I would not make the argument fully. The death penalty makes there less crime. But it is a form of punishment. And if you take it away, you do have less punishment objectively. Mm-hmm. And so it is simply a form of punishment. And the government, without punishment, it really has nothing. You can do it. Its laws mean nothing if they're not actually enforced. Let's use a very emotional example. It's easy and abstract to say capital punishment is sort of worthless. The Boston Marathon bomber was actually sentenced to death in federal court, which is pretty rare now. Mm-hmm. And I've read something, people overwhelmingly supported it. Mm-hmm. Because they had an emotional connection to what he did. And I think most people who would disagree in abstract or theory about the death penalty, if something happened to one of their loved ones, they would probably be more for it on a more emotionalized, because we kind of know naturally that people should not get away with murder, that yes. something is objectively
Thou
wrong.
Thou shalt not murder.
Yes. And so it's a basis of natural law. It's not a biblical argument so much as you can't let a murder go free. And murderers don't respect life to start with. Mm-hmm. Now, however, I will agree that the death penalty is being phased out and the whole tide is going against it. It's actually more expensive to put someone to death than to keep them alive for their whole lives in prison, because appeal system and because of how our court system is run right now. So my argument is not really for the death penalty. No Christian would probably say this. They're for the death penalty for every crime. You know, death penalty for speeding tickets would not be a fan of that.
Yeah, no.
But it is the most severe, and it should only apply to the most severe crimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the penalty should match the crime, in other words.
So we got to take a break here in just a minute, but I definitely have. You just mentioned how Christians wouldn't think in a certain way. I have a related question here that I want to get to when we come back after the break, and it's, is the death penalty actually hypocritical as Christians because of the topic of abortion or the disabled, elderly, the hospitalized, euthanasia in general? So when we come back, I'd like to discuss a little bit about that. So joining us this afternoon is Pastor Hale here on The Y-Files, not off on a tangent. Thanks, Adam. Joining me this afternoon also is Adam, who is taking David's place. David's at Issues Etc. right now, making the case conference. Mm-hmm. So he's I'm sure he's had a great time there too. So I'm Captain Kirk. We gotta take a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Would you like to be able to speak about life issues like abortion or assisted suicide with courage and compassion? Hi. I'm Pastor Michael Salamek, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. We're an organization that exists to equip Lutherans to be gospel-motivated voices for life. We have resources available at www.lutheransforlife.org, or you can call us at 888-364-LIFE. That's 888-364-5433.
Since 1776, American involvement in military actions and wars have been almost more numerous than any care to count. There have been hundreds of times our service people have been dispatched, and they went, and they served valiantly and always honorably. However, it proves practically again and again that freedom is never free. Freedom requires constant vigilance, devotion, determination, courage, sacrifice, even to the placing of one's life on the line to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and to ensure that our people and our way of life is preserved to ourselves and our children and our children's children. Sometimes one's life is the price. Men and women serving in the United States Marine Corps, the United States Navy, the United States Army, the United States Air Force, the United States Coast Guard have answered that call. Their selflessness, their devotion to duty, the pledging of their lives for America and her Constitution have served to preserve this nation throughout her history. They remain on watch so that you and I, everyday Americans, can build our homes and families in peace and attend school, go to our jobs, enjoy the blessings of liberty in our lives, and sleep in safety every night in our beds without fear. To you all who are now serving or who have served in the past, from all of us at KNNALP FM 95.7, we send you our deepest and sincerest thank you. You will never be forgotten.
Lincoln, Nebraska is a beautiful place to raise a family. It's a wonderful town, great football, and I'll admit that even though I am Pastor Eric Brown, proud graduate of the University of Oklahoma, and with me is also a fellow OU alum,
Thomas Lemke, Boomer Sooner.
And we are the host of the Gospel Boldly podcast, where we look at the Word of God that shows God's great love even to people who root for the wrong football team from down south. Please listen in here on 95.7 The Cross.
Welcome back to the Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk, along here with Adam. Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Hale, and we've been discussing a controversial hot topic of death penalty, capital punishment. And before the break, I mentioned something that I wanted to discuss along with this topic, and that was, as Christians, is agreeing with the death penalty hypocritical? Because in a way, I won't even say in a way, We have abortion going on in this nation right now, and throughout the world. And as Christians, we're fighting against abortion. We know that it's wrong to be killing unborn babies, or even after they're being born. I know there's been some cases like that. You've got around the world, you got disabled people who are being euthanized. The elderly are being euthanized. There's other cases of euthanasia. We fight against those. Why is it then that it's okay for the death penalty? Which I know you kind of answered this already, but in comparison here, why do we fight against abortion, but then we fight for the death penalty? I mean, it's almost as if we're just playing God when it comes to human life.
Life, as God's creation, is only He has the authority over, and He's given that authority whether we like it or not. And so Christians should not be for hurting people, even who do bad things. That's left to the government, which is an abstract thing. No one person is the government. And so it's not the same as murder. Murder is an unauthorized taking of life. Killing is an authorized taking. And when we talk about human life, something a soldier can do if he's following orders. If he doesn't follow orders and kill someone, that's murder. it'll be tried. And the same thing with the government. Even for a Christian, this might not be a job we seek, but a Christian can administer lethal injection with a clean conscience. It's not a sin because he's not murdering. He's acting on behalf of the government and with the government's authority. And so a love of life does not mean that crime should go unpunished. A love of life means also protecting innocent life, and we draw a distinction between people who are guilty of crimes, usually murder. We only, the capital punishment today is only for murder. It used to be much more expanded, actually. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, people probably don't realize this, but at one point, homosexuality, the act of sodomy, was guilty of capital punishment here in America. And yeah, at least one has been executed mm-hmm. in its early days. But all governments had capital punishment.
And in the mm-hmm. Old West, if you stole a horse, sometimes you were hung.
Yes.
Or hanged, however you want to yes. put that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's more interesting, not so much that those are good things, but order and kind of an earthly peace is a good thing for the Christian. But the move away from it, I think, is where we see a different view of man. And the fact that we see a big difference between a revenge killing, like a lynching, for example, versus an impassioned government procedure. It's not a matter of emotion. It's not a matter of hate. And so that Christians can be involved in that whole process, and they're not hating that person. They can love that person by sharing the gospel, but obviously not punishing crimes is not love. We would not equate the two. Whereas you have an unborn child, a completely different thing. And let's go to the other side, the abolitionist side, those who do away with the death penalty. Are they doing it because they love life? No, I would argue they are not. Instead, they would say that the justice procedure in government is never perfect, and it can make mistakes, which is true. But to say for that reason, you really maybe can't punish anyone severely. That the it's an impossible thing. The government is not God, so therefore, why do anything? Let people be on their own.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be, if you leave people on their own, that's just anarchy, like we mentioned before.
Exactly.
Chaos.
And that's where it leads, this line of thinking. But some people think that people will be better. In fact, here's an interesting historical fact. This is from deathpenalty.org, which is in favor of getting rid of it. Dr. Benjamin Rush, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, challenged the belief that the death penalty served as a deterrent. He said that having the death penalty actually increased criminal conduct. He made the opposite argument, and then his state in Philadelphia became the first state to kind of reduce the death penalty for most offenses.
Okay.
And we would say that sounds pretty ludicrous today. We don't have less crime than 250 years ago, or however long that was.
Yeah. So another topic I wanted to make mention of were the innocent. There have been cases yes. where the innocent were almost executed, like right mm-hmm. up to the last minute it was stopped, or the innocent were executed, where after they died, people found out, oh, they didn't actually do it. So clearly, you know, obviously humans are not perfect by any means. We are also sinful. So, I mean, it's such a risk, you know, to have the death penalty when you realize that there could be a possibility of condemning an innocent man. Now, I'm talking about as far as crime.
Yep.
And, I mean, none of us are innocent when it comes to sin, yes. except through Jesus Christ. As far as crime here on earth, I struggle with that, you know, because there's too many instances where people could be innocent and we might be killing somebody who doesn't mm-hmm. deserve it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's definitely a concern, and Christians should want good justice, not a flawed justice system and application of laws. But we don't want to go too far and say, well, we can never be 100% sure, since we're not God, let's punish no one. And it turns out most of these people, like I watched an interesting documentary once on people freed by DNA evidence from mm-hmm. life in prison.
Yeah.
Most of them actually were guilty of many crimes, maybe lesser crimes. and maybe crimes of the same degree they hadn't been caught at or they couldn't prove. But usually it's kind of the guilt by association. Most of them were guilty in the eyes of the law of something, and it was easy to make the leap. Oh, yeah, they probably did this murder, too. And it goes back to Romans 13. If we don't have to fear the government if we do what is right. If we follow God's law, which is much higher than government's law, mm-hmm. we don't have to fear the government. We don't have to live in this fear. Well, I'm going to get caught doing something.
So out of the curiosity with as far as Scripture, is there a difference in, we'll just call it the death penalty, between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Is there mm-hmm. a difference at all, or has it always kind mm-hmm. of been the same throughout Scripture?
So in the Old Testament, the Jews were under a theocracy, in which God ruled them directly. You do have kings for a bit of time, what God didn't really recommend. They wanted anyway, and they got as punishment, really. But God made their laws directly, and so we have civil laws in the Old Testament, which don't apply to us. We have been given government, which is the authority has been vested in them, in these kind of third party, if you want to say that. And so God specifies no civil laws for us in the New Testament. We are to obey the government. Mm-hmm. We are to pay taxes, even though is our tax money being used wisely in every circumstance?
No.
Probably we can answer very safely no. But we have the divine command to respect the government in this way, no matter what the tax rate might be, however unfair or however it's misused. Mm-hmm. And so government is an authority over us, and it has an authority over all of life. And capital punishment really flows from that. If it has authority over life, the government also has authority to take life. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to use that, and that's fine. I don't think Christians would say that's going to make anyone trust in Christ more or believe in heaven or accept the doctrine of Scripture because more people are executed. That's not an argument we would seek to make. That's a matter of law and of civil order. Here's a passage that does fit in with that. This is from 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now we know that the law, and we're using law in the wide sense here, of just punishment and threats, if one uses it lawfully. Understanding this, the law is not laid down for the just, but the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murders, sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. So Christians, really, the government is really, they're not under that as far as that goes, because they answer to a higher law, to God. But they should obey the laws, but the lawless need these laws to punish them. Or else we see what happens. And society breaks down.
Riots.
Everything breaks. Family stuff. Breaks yeah. down. Church breaks down. Yeah.
Yeah. Are there any cases in Scripture where God gave the death penalty? Like in Scripture kind of says that God commanded this or that, and to have people killed or an army killed or a nation killed off. Is there any occasion like that in Scripture?
Many, many examples in the Old Testament and according to the civil code, and God gave directly, of especially with pagan nations, when Israel was taking the promised land, killed even women and children. And it seems very vindictive in our sense, but that's the problem, is that we're not God, and society doesn't work where everyone thinks they are the center and the determiner of right and wrong, because we're going to differ. Well, who's the arbiter then? There has to be some authority over every person, and that has to be government. And if government doesn't do it, well, that's chaos, and nothing's going to work very well. So the answer is yes, but those don't apply to us. And Jesus did save the woman from adultery. They were going to stone her, which was legal code. And he intervened, actually. Let him who's without sin cast the first stone. So our understanding is very different than a governmental understanding.
This is a lot for my head to wrap around. It really is.
I got a thought on that.
You're going to have to hold your thought.
Yeah.
You got to hold your thought there. So we got to take a quick break. This is The Y-Files. By the way, go to our Facebook page, The Y-Files, and you can submit your own question. We'll try to get it on this program as soon as we can. So we got to take a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Gettysburg, Shiloh, Antietam, Pea Ridge, Vicksburg, Chickamauga, Cold Harbor, The Wilderness, Fredericksburg, Appomattox Courthouse. These names stir up thoughts and images of the bloodiest conflict in American history. Brother versus brother, North versus South, Grant versus Lee, Lincoln versus Davis, the American Civil War. It has been said that those who fail to learn from their history are doomed to repeat it. We invite you to listen and learn as KNNALP 95.7 The Cross brings to you the Civil War Podcast. Tune in every Monday and Wednesday at 2 p.m. for a new episode. That's the Civil War Podcast, Monday and Wednesday at 2 p.m., right here on KNNA 95.7 The Cross. Chancellorsville, Missionary Ridge, Island Number 10, Fort Pillow, Petersburg, Malvern Tavern.
Welcome back to the Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk. Joining me this afternoon is my guest co-host, Adam, from Off on a Tangent. And joining us this afternoon is Pastor Hale from Zion Lutheran Church in Omaha, Nebraska. And we've been discussing a very controversial hot topic of the death penalty. And I've, as I said a couple of times already, I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around a lot of this. There's a lot of good material here, and I'm going to have to go back and listen to this episode probably five times just to get my head on straight, which, by the way, anybody out there, you can do that at thecross957.org and go to the Y-Files page and listen to any of the episodes we have on demand, especially this one, which is June 10th. By the way, it's June 10th if you want to look that one up. Adam, before the break, you wanted to say something. What was that?
Okay. So at the example you've given with Jesus halting the execution of the adulterous woman, could that be a case where some of the progressive Christians out there will say, well, Jesus halted a death penalty, so obviously he's against it, so as we're followers of Christ, we should be against the death penalty because it's right there?
Well, if I might interject, well, it's not just progressive Christians. It's any Christian who are struggling with this topic. Mm-hmm. I mean, this could be a really good case for that. So,
And that's an easy argument to make. I would make the distinction: Jesus was not acting as a government official when he did that. Mm-hmm. He was not instructing us. Now, he did act when he talked about paying taxes and pulling the corn out of the coin out of the fish. He did instruct on government authority. But Jesus, we see the government, its role is to threaten and to punish. The church's job is to free offenders. Jesus was acting as Savior at that point, not as as a governor. The role of the church should show mercy, and so a Christian can at the same time be the means of administering the death penalty, and then also simultaneously offer forgiveness, which gives eternal life for the sin. But we know forgiveness doesn't take away the punishment. Even though I am forgiven by God for my sin, that doesn't undo the consequences of my sin. And I think the bigger picture here is, what is the role of government? I think today for many people, this might explain why politics has become so heated, and people are looking for a savior instead of government leaders. The role of government is not to make people better, not to improve society or take care of people like a father in heaven. It's governments to punish. The church's job brings the gospel and distributes this forgiveness, which does change people. So a person can die under the death penalty and be forgiven by God at the same time. Those are two different realms or kingdoms that God works in. The government does not save people or make people better. The church does.
One of the things that comes to mind is an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth kind of a thing. Just first off, is that phrase scriptural at all? Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth?
It is referred to, yes. I did not research the exact passage of that. But it's also based in natural law. It's also, you can find it, I think, outside of the Bible, that you know, we would not advocate the death penalty for a speeding ticket. Neither would say someone who commits multiple murders should do public service. Mm-hmm.
So the eye for an eye thing, I mean, do we take that literally? I mean, if someone pokes out your eye, you can go and poke out their eye?
Certainly not at the individual level. That would be against Scripture. We are called to not take revenge. God says, "Revenge is mine," says the Lord. That's why many movies are based on this, mm-hmm. right? Someone hurts the guy's family, and the guy decides to go take down an organization mm-hmm. and kill many people. That is murder, and he's doing it out of hatred. Mm-hmm. When it happens to the government, it does not affect one's individual heart in the same way. As far as the people in government don't have to hate someone to do this. They're simply following good order and the laws that have been given, not laws that we made up ourselves. They come from outside of us.
Yeah, that actually is another question I have is, does the death penalty, is it necessary as just retribution for the victim's families?
I think if you were to ask them, I think many would say yes. Mm-hmm. Even ones who might waffle on a generic sort of survey, are you in favor of the death penalty? Mm-hmm. I think when you get the emotion added in, we know it's intrinsically unfair for nothing to happen to a murderer. Mm-hmm. To say, oh, you murdered six people. Oh, that's going to be a fine of $600. Go have a nice day. Mm-hmm. I think there would be an outrage over that.
I think people realize when people go to prison, you know, that you have to spend your entire life there. That becomes your just way of life. You know, it's just a different, another day. And you probably don't really think of it much as punishment, but you're removed from society. But what are they really getting at? You know, what are they actually learning from this process? Because it's just the way of life. They wake up, you know, they don't have much, you know.
Does that depend on what prison these people are going to?
Because I don't know.
You hear the horror stories of people who are in prison, you know, some have died by the right. other inmates, you know, what have
That's
you.
That's so true, too.
I don't know if... I mean, I know that there are some nice things in prison, but it's also mm-hmm. not a pleasant place to be
right.
either.
But I'm just saying, you know, it becomes just a way of life, you know.
Here's an example that goes even further. Even in prison, they make a distinction between the really guilty and the innocent. For example, those that hurt children are often looked about by the other criminals and even other murderers as something lesser. Mm-hmm. And they take it upon themselves sometimes mm-hmm. to execute a justice in their own mind. The problem is it's never going to be just when it comes from one person. That's where mm-hmm. government as an authority or institution set up by God, it has the hope of being more just than any single person.
Mm-hmm. A couple more questions. We're starting to run out of time here. I mean, this time just goes by so incredibly fast. And I know we could talk about this a lot more. What about the people who have executed those who committed a heinous crime? I mean, what if they're actually feeling it upon their hearts that it weighs on them heavily? I mean, what can we say to them after they've experienced something like that?
So, for example, they are doing it with the government's authority.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
In that case, that would be a false guilt. Mm-hmm. They have done nothing wrong. They are simply obeying the government's law. And they are not intending for a hatred life. In fact, while they're doing it, they're probably not saying, oh, good, this guy really deserves it. I hope he suffers a lot. We're probably praying. A Christian would be praying for that person even while he could be administering execution. Those two can happen at the same time. That is, as faith in God, love for a fellow man, but also knowing that we need laws. And the government has the sword and has to do it, these things. So those two are not conflicting in any way. And that's where the modern kind of secular pagan would see a grave contradiction where we see now, because they don't understand the freedom of faith. That faith toward God doesn't mean we change the laws and we're really nice to people. We don't think that's being really nice, getting rid of prisons. We think opening up heaven to someone, even while they're in prison, is good, but that doesn't mean I'm going to take a murderer and let them babysit my kids. Mm-hmm. That's not really a nice thing for my family, but yet I can pray for that person. It doesn't mean I break them out of jail either.
Right, right. Just a couple more minutes left. Mm-hmm. As a Christian, or I guess anybody for that matter, is it okay to be against the death penalty?
Yes, depending on the reason. If you think it's not very effective or even cost effective, which it's not really, according to most that I've read. But can you be against it in the sense of government is not allowed to, that God is displeased? And that's an argument that would be an emotional one, not based on Scripture. So you can be not for it for every crime, certainly, or for any crime. But you have to understand that government has been given authority over life by God. And whether we like it or not, everyone will be judged. God is the only perfect judge, and Christians don't get too wrapped up in government. We know at the last day, God will separate the sheep from the goats. Mm-hmm. And it will not be fair in our sense, because many murderers are sheep and mm-hmm. will inherit eternal life, much like the thief on the cross. He was probably not a nice guy. Maybe we wouldn't want him as our neighbor next to us. Mm-hmm. But yet, Jesus forgave his sins, and he mm-hmm. received eternal life.
Even as he was on death row.
And Jesus and Jesus didn't say, okay, come down from the cross. He could have. He could have released him from the earthly penalty mm-hmm. while also giving him heaven, but he chose not to. I think that's very instructive for us.
Mm-hmm. I never thought about it that way. You're making me think too much, Pastor Hale. There's so much about this. Once again, joining us this afternoon is Pastor Hale. We've been talking about the death penalty, and my mind is going a million miles an hour. Adam, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of speechless at this point as to what to talk about from here on out. But we are out of time, so Pastor Hale, thanks for joining us this afternoon. He is at Zion Lutheran Church in Omaha, Nebraska. Do you want to give a quick address of where that is in case someone's in Omaha and wants to go to
church? It's in Northwest Omaha, 14205 Ida Street.
And how long of a drive is that from Lincoln to Omaha, or Omaha to Lincoln?
About an hour?
Okay, so that's kind of where everywhere in Omaha is about an hour. So, that's not too bad. Yeah. That's not too bad at all. So if you guys happen to be in Omaha and you're not able to be in church, say at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church or Trinity Lutheran or Redeemer, if you're in Omaha, you can go to Zion Lutheran Church in Omaha, Nebraska, and see Pastor Hale and Pastor Burnt. They're both there. And Pastor Burnt used to be a pastor at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church as well. So, Adam, once again, thanks for taking over David's mm-hmm. place today. I'm glad you were here. Mm-hmm. Glad you were here. See, you offered something to the program. You were so concerned beforehand that you wouldn't have anything to say.
Yeah.
You
really
didn't
say much, though, but that's all right.
That's because I'm always talking, and old lovable Jack would just say, just interrupt Captain Kirk. Yeah. Just say something. Say something. So you guys can go on our Facebook page, the Y Files. That's the letter Y, by the way. And you can see what questions we're going to have coming up next for the week. I try to get those questions out there as soon as I can. And you can also submit your own questions to the Y Files page. We'll try to get it on this program as soon as we can. We've already had several listener submitted questions that we've got on this program. I think probably 7 or 8 from listeners already. So, yeah. So we definitely get those on the program, so don't hesitate. And there is no such thing as a stupid question. The only stupid question is the question you don't ask. So if you've got one, bring it in. I'm Captain Kirk, along here with Adam. Thanks again, Adam. Pastor Hale, thanks for joining us this afternoon. It's great to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
So, Lincoln, we'll see you later next week. And go to thecrossn57.org to listen to other programs. Have a good weekend.